Welcome everyone to Discipleship Podcasts with the Bend International Church of Christ. I'm Joey Hungerford, and I just want to introduce you to season 8 of our podcast, which is the year 2023. And we're exploring a lot of real life theology this year, the Holy Spirit, faithful faith, the grand meta narrative of the Bible, disciple making, and so much more. So I'm excited that you're here. I hope that you stay tuned. Please give us a review and share it with your friends. God bless. We're talking about who is the God of the gospel. And this is the last sermon on our gospel series. There's so much we could talk about with the gospel. Last Sunday, I talked a lot as I looked at the recording and saw it was 45 minutes, a lot of sociology in that sermon. Today, we're going to really focus it in just on one chapter. So don't worry. One chapter. And who is the God of the gospel? As much as we talk about Jesus and all of these different theological points of the gospel just reveals who God is. And I'd love for us to encourage one another right now, just call out an attribute of God. You know, God is love, he's a good father. What are just some characteristics, adjectives? Who is God?
Merciful.
Patient. I just wanted to keep going because so many good things come up. All right, you just determined my sermon. Let's lean into those. We'll actually contain it a bit more. God is all of those things and many things more. Especially contained within the gospel, it's told that God, you know, he's revealed in creation. God is creator. God is judge. There's going to be final and future judgment. That's a part of it. But again, we're not going to jump all over the Bible today. I'm probably going to focus in on God is love, because that's actually one that I find myself most being out of touch with, most forgetting at times, most losing sight of. Has anyone ever heard of, there's this Celtic thing called thin places?
Yes.
Yes and no. Yeah, yeah. You've what have you heard it from? I'm curious.
I read a lot of sci-fi.
Okay, I wonder, is this Doctor Who thing? Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it isn't Doctor Who, but that's not what I was thinking.
There you go. I figured it might be, because it's a Celtic thing. It's a Christian Celtic thing of thin places. Maybe it comes up in, what is that show, Outlander?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yes. But yeah. I don't watch it, but some here are fans. Look at these connections that we're making. Thin places are places where heaven and earth, the realms, come together, and it's thin, the barrier between the two. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt like that? You're in a place where you go, man, this just seems like I am close to God in this place, in this moment. Maybe it's on the mountaintop. Maybe it's in your prayer closet. Maybe it's with another believer as you're connecting in a quiet time. Thin places. So the gospel is a thin place where God is revealed through Jesus becoming human, acquainted with our sorrows, tempted in every way, and suffering and relating to us, and is very revealed, especially in John chapter 17. That's where we're going to go today. We get to witness a thin place in John 17 where heaven and earth come together because Jesus has a conversation, has a prayer with God, and his disciples get to listen in on that prayer. We get to listen in on that prayer, which is pretty cool that it was actually recorded for us today that we could listen into that. God speaking with his son. And so I hope as we a purpose for the sermon today is, yes, to reveal God more, but we want to, in light of the gospel, we want to grasp the good news, be shaped by the good news, and become the good news ourselves as God is revealed to us. So all those attributes of God, let's go to this thin place. Turn your Bible over to John chapter 17. We're going to read it in just a moment, but I'll mention a few things leading up to John 17. Throughout John, it's worth noting, actually, that Jesus is preaching to an audience. Some find the gospel offensive. A big reason for that is they say, hey, he's claiming to be God, and he's revealing that he is God, and that's offensive to some. It's a stumbling block to some. It's bad news to some people. It's bad news for the position they held. I jotted down a few lines. Of course, there's many more, but just in the chapters leading up to John 17, let's hit these quickly. This is what Jesus reveals about God. Some of his final teachings, a farewell discourse, you could say, because Jesus is on his way to the cross. So he drops all of these truth bombs right here. And so God of the gospel, really, in all these, I try to highlight the Father, Son, Holy Spirit aspect. That Jesus says, we are one. In and through each other, they're working together to save us. They're all a part of the gospel message. So John 14, 6, say, pretty offensive to some, Jesus says, I am the only way to the Father. In 14, 10, the Father lives in the Son, doing his work through him. And then he says that Jesus will ask the Father, and the Father will send the Spirit to Jesus' disciples. And then the Spirit will teach Jesus' disciples all things and remind them of what Jesus said. So see, they're all working together in the gospel. Then we get to John 15, remaining in the vine, which is actually the theme for our prayer night coming up in a month, that we can do nothing apart from God, but when we remain in him and abide in him, he's going to make sure that we bear fruit. And then he says, hey, he's going to send his disciples the Spirit from the Father, and the Spirit will testify about Jesus, and Jesus' disciples will also testify about Jesus. So even in them sending the gospel message forward, it's really the Holy Spirit that's going to send gospel message forward. Then Jesus says he's going to go away, and again, the Spirit, the Advocate, will come and guide the disciples into all truth. So one God, three persons. That's the highlight from all of these verses. And you see that come up in a very important and key way in John 17. I guess I have a couple other references just for the note takers if they care to. Well, I'll just say it this way. Throughout the whole Old Testament, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That was what the Jews viewed. So for Jesus to show up on the scene and say the Lord is three persons, three personalities, but all one, it was quite confusing for some and can confuse us even today. And actually, a lot of people who hear the gospel for the first time probably have questions about this. And you could turn with them to John 17 and say, well, let's read this together. Thank you so much for reading that. It's so good just to, again, imagine what it would be like to be there, to be a fly on the wall. Jesus is about to have a conversation with God, and we're going to talk about it 2,000 years later. And you get to help record that and tell other people about it. Even today, we could have strong feelings when you want to know what, say, an important person in your life thinks about you, right? You go, man, I wonder what they say about me when I'm not around. We get to hear that. We just heard that in John 17. And sometimes we wonder, right, what does Jesus think about me? He reveals some of that right here. Sometimes when I mess up, I think, oh, man, Jesus must think I'm a bad person. I'm probably going to hell. And so quickly I go there, and, man, I need another disciple to be like, well, did you read this? You know, what does the truth say? Let me share some good news in your life before I go down in that spiral. So this is what the three, or really two, Jesus and God here, persons of the Godhead, think about us and say about us. A prayer for disciples, even here, now, and today. So when you're asking yourself, man, what does Jesus think about me today? He probably is disappointed or thinks I failed or I messed up. Go and read John chapter 17. And you notice that there's this pattern throughout the chapter, throughout the prayer. Jesus is going to tell his Father, Father, you gave me this, so I have passed this on to my disciples. It's a little bit of a pattern there, if we were to put a pattern to it. Three things that you see in that pattern. In John 17, 6 through 8, the Father gave the Son words, and so the Son passed these words on to the disciples. Awesome. In John 17, 1 through 5, and then again in verse 22, the Father gives the Son glory, and the Son passed glory on to his disciples. The word, glory, awesome. And then in verse 18, the Father gave the Son a mission, and sent him into the world to accomplish the mission, and the Son sent the disciples into the world to accomplish that mission as well. Which is a good pattern right there. Before you get to mission, just lean into the truth of God's glory and God's word, and then, yes, sent onto the mission as well. Now, when I come across a question like this, man, what does Jesus think about me? What do other people think about me? What do I think about me? Just our relationships. Sometimes they get messed up, right? Yeah. Sometimes we have shallowness. Sometimes we have, I could say oftentimes, perhaps, there's shallowness, coldness. I say it this way, if I'm known but not loved, that's called coldness. If I'm loved but not really known, that's called shallowness. If I'm neither known nor loved, that's called loneliness. So two amazing things. Look at verses 25 and 26. Do I have a slide? Maybe, yeah, that was the one I just talked about. To be known and loved. Two amazing truths to realize about the God of the gospel. He's a God who knows you and loves you. Let's think about how he says that in verses 25 and 26. When we feel a coldness, a shallowness, a loneliness, think of this. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them. So who is the God of the gospel? You can know God by reading about Jesus, who has made God known to us. God is most revealed through his Son. And then in verse 26, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I may myself may be in them. As much as God the Father loves the Son, he wants that love to be in us. And you have to pull in a few more verses, but it goes both ways, that the Father knows us and loves us as much as we can also know and love the Father. It shouldn't be a relationship that goes to coldness, that goes to loneliness, that goes to shallowness. And I actually think that should not only be a vertical thing between us and God relationally, but a horizontal thing between relationships around us as well. You're in a relationship. When you really know someone and love someone, that's a blessing, isn't it? You feel a joy with that, right? You can, all those attributes we listed about God, you could probably list a lot of those similar attributes about a loving and knowing relationship, right? When you know someone so well. And so, to be known and loved, I think that thaws the coldness. I think it deepens the shallowness. What was the other one? Coldness, shallowness, loneliness. I think it brings friendship to the loneliness, adds company. And I think that happens in every single relationship. Maddie and I could probably both testify to it. There's times when even in a marriage you can feel unloved or unknown or lonely or shallow, but doesn't it feel so good to be known and loved by somebody else? So there, the disciples are there in John 17. They're watching the Son talk to the Father, saying, we know each other, and I've passed that on to them, and we love each other, and I've passed that on to them. So now the disciples can know what it's like to know this same love, to be known and to be loved, and pass that on to others. Yesterday, I got to experience that just a little bit. I've been a part of this discipleship group. We disciple one another, people committed to disciple-making for the past year, and kind of a coaching group. We coach each other, and hey, are you going out amongst the lost this week? Questions like that. And it's always been on Zoom. I haven't met most of them in person, but they're in Oregon. And finally, yesterday, we met up. And it's like, wow, you're short, you're tall, because, you know, you're not just seeing them on Zoom anymore. And the central place was in Detroit, Oregon, there in the Sanium Pass, to meet up, because one of them knew a pastor there. There's a little Detroit community church that had burned down, and they're rebuilding it now. And so we met up there, and about a dozen of us went there, and there's about a dozen local congregates, and we thought we'd encourage them. So we have this four-hour time of prayer and fasting, and then for another hour, we just went around Detroit, Oregon, and knocked on some doors and talked to some neighbors. But really, even the local congregants there as well, it is one thing to drive by that place, as I often do, as I often don't think about or really know that place or love that place. And it's another just to barely touch, and even only being there for one afternoon is probably nothing, but to talk to people and to describe a few of the conditions there. So Detroit, Oregon was in the 2020 fires. Everything burned down. The industry gone, homes gone. So some have good fire insurance, others do not. There's a lot of have and have nots there now. There's mansions building, millionaires building mansions now, not the other way around. And then there's poverty right next to it. There's a lot of divisiveness there. So the only church there, the pastor, he's part-time and he commutes an hour to Salem every single day and can barely be in the community himself. And yeah, the church had this food bank, but they don't get a lot of food donations, and it's even scarce there, and there's still some displaced people there. And so you get to, you know, just learning one or two of their names. There's this woman, Lisa, who is 40 years old, and she had already had a few strokes in her life, and she was taking care of a three-year-old there and had lost mobility in one hand. And we're praying at one of the parks, and there's some kids playing there, and you know, you just try to put yourself in their shoes. What would it be like to grow up in this community? And I felt like it's one of those thin places where I could start to see some of the locals come alive. They were encouraged that other people came up to pray with them, to prayer walk with them, to go around the community, to encourage neighbors. I probably felt more blessed than some of them just because it's awesome to be around prayer and people going out to know others and love others. And if nothing else, you know, some people didn't want prayer, but just to get to know them, just to acknowledge them as a human being, it's such a great thing. I don't do that often enough, I gotta say, in this community. And it reminded me, oh yeah, I used to pray for these communities in the fire up there, but they're kind of out of sight, out of mind since 2020, if you're not going up there. Even if you're driving by sometimes, it's, oh, look at that house. Oh man, I'd like to live there. There's a new mansion. But what about the people who had lost their home 3 years ago? So I'm just saying where my heart goes into forgetting that we want others to be known and loved by God. I know that I need to be doing that a lot more, planting those seeds so that others can be known and loved by God. Knowing and loving. Too often myself, and I think a lot of Christians think this way, even driving up there, I was like, oh man, 4 hours of prayer. I had some of those thoughts in the back of my mind. It's 90 minutes to drive up here. Too often Christians think, I need to read my Bible, and I need to pray, and I need to go to church, and I need to live a moral life, and then someday I'll die and I'll get to go to heaven, and then there'll be eternal life. And they think of this big to-do list, and then there's going to be this knowing and loving when we're gone and when we're in this other realm. But actually, the knowing and the loving and the thin place of being with God can happen right here. You can experience that right here. Or he says it this way. I think I have the slide. Yes, this is an awesome verse. Here's the truth. Knowing and loving God, that's the good stuff, not waiting around for heaven someday. The good stuff is right here, right now, enjoying a relationship with him. 17:3 says this, now this is eternal, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Isn't that good news, that can be experienced right here, right now, to some degree? That God, the God who knows you and loves you, is going to have the end victory, and he can know you and love you in that way right now. I can't say it enough as I realize, man, I'm repeating know you and love you a lot. But day by day, I can forget that God knows me and loves me. On our part, to know God is to love God, is yes, also to obey God and be faithful to God and do all those other things on the checklist of read my Bible and pray and go to church. But God isn't a killjoy, and obedience isn't a killjoy. And John 17 also speaks into that, this other attribute of God revealing himself. Well, he doesn't say it right here, but all right, let me get centered. It's in verse 13. There it is. He says, I am coming to you now that I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And then verse 18. No, let's just stick to verse 13. That's good enough right there. Well, yeah, he does say, yeah, as God has sent me into the world, I send you. So if God sent Jesus into the world to be with us, to give us a full measure of joy, and then he says, man, I'm sending you guys in that same way, I want to be in tune with that full measure of joy so that I'm bringing others that full measure of joy so that I can be good news to them and not bad news. And day by day, sometimes I go, man, am I really experiencing that full measure of joy? I want to lean into that. I want to know that. I think that's part of being known and being loved. Are you experiencing a full measure of his joy in your relationship with Jesus? And I got to say, again, God is not a killjoy. He's not going to ruin your life because you got to be in a relationship with him. Actually, the transformation and the joy comes when we are in this obedient, surrendered, submitted relationship to God. And I say all those words, submit, obey, and everything, because I think we miss the full measure of joy when we neglect those other things. And they go hand in hand, and they're experienced together. Yeah. All right, fast forward. Oh, yeah. We all know that song, Joy to the World, right? The Lord has come. You sing that in a thunderous way, right? Yeah. All right, who's good at singing? I'm just kidding. It's the joy to the world, the Lord has come, right? What's the next line?
Let earth receive her king.
What is it?
Let earth receive her king.
Okay, but we sing it, right? Like, let earth receive her king, right? And yet sometimes I go, okay, am I really having this full measure of joy if I'm going around like, the king has come, you know, like secret society, like, I don't know. So I'm not trying to use hyperbole. I'm not trying to hype you up and be a cheerleader. I'm just saying that's a great song. I think that helps me to be in touch with known by God, loved by God, the Word of God, God's glory, and then being sent by God. That's the God I want to send. That's the story I want to be a part of. That's the good news I want to grasp and become for others. So to summarize that, if I'm known but not loved, that's called coldness. If I'm loved but not really known, that's called shallowness. If I'm neither known nor loved, that's called loneliness. But if I'm known and loved, that's called oneness in John 17. So I'll kind of end talking about that word. Oneness, John 17, verses 20 through 21. As Jesus transitions in the chapter to praying about us, we see how much he desires to be one with God and for us here and now to be one with each other. I think Paul even says it in Philippians, right? Make my joy complete by being of like mind, which is such a cool challenge. He just tells the church, like, make my joy complete. It's like, I love it. John 20 through 21 says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So you don't need to go up to someone and be like, joy to the world. In fact, I don't know how far you're going to get with that. But this scripture says that when you are one with others in this room, what'll happen? Man, they're going to know something about the message, right? They're going to look at Anthony's relationship with Jesse and go, man, there's some message behind their relationship. There's something that has to make sense about that, because it doesn't make sense to me just yet. Mm-hmm. The church's oneness is part of the message going forth. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think people would look at a non-joyful, non-loving, cold, shallow, lonely group and think, man, that's the message of God. You know? No, we want the opposite of that. You can help reveal God. You can help create a thin place when we know and love each other the way God knows and loves us, when we have that oneness. So you just bring it right here to the closest relationships around you. Are you known and loved by others? Because sometimes I tell myself, I'm not, they don't really know me. If they really knew me, they would not love me. Sometimes I fall into that. Sometimes I'm, they're the YoPros. You know, I'm married. They don't want to hang out with me, right? We say things like that. And whatever the opposite of that is, we say that about the old folks as well, right? We don't want the coldness, shallowness, loneliness. So I say, man, last sermon we talked about God came into the world for, he first loved us, right? God initiated, and we need to initiate with one another. So here's my challenge. When you feel that, man, am I known and loved by others in this room? And that's a knowing and a loving that's going to thaw that coldness, that's going to fill up that shallowness. Ask yourself if you allow yourself to be known and loved by others in this room. And have I gotten to know that person? Have I gotten to love that person? And maybe if your heart's not there, go back and read John 17 and be like, man, there's something about being sanctified by the word and something about the glory of God being given to me. And I hope that will fill you a full measure of joy to go forth and love others. That's the message that we want others to hear about. Amen, church? Amen. I think that's a story that others want to be a part of. It's encouraging. Friday night, we went out and we prayer walked together. We went out two by two. Jesse, get out and prayer walk with Jesse sometime soon, because he's an encouraging guy. And the prompt is to go out and encourage each other, granted. But he said, thanks God for the loyalty of Joey's friendship. Even that affirmation or that attribution he threw out, I was like, man, I am pretty loyal, or whatever. But when we get out, take someone out on a prayer walk in this room, encourage them. Don't exaggerate or make stuff up, but say truths about them. That's what Paul wrote about to so many churches, right? And just said, man, I want to thank God for your love, for your friendship, for your partnership in the gospel. Guys, don't miss the point. The point is not read my Bible, pray, go to church, someday eternal life. The point is read my Bible and in so doing, listen to God. Pray and in so doing, talk to God. Go to church, go to Friday fellowship, go to a prayer walk, encourage one another, discipleship time, whatever, and in so doing, listen to each other and talk to each other, know each other and love each other and have oneness. That's the point. The point is relationships, whether it's vertical with the Father, horizontal with one another, knowing and loving, being known and being loved. Those are the relationships to thaw the coldness, deepen our shallowness, chase away our loneliness. So do you get the point of Christianity, or are you missing the relationship and the relationships? I don't want to miss that. Authentic relationships, authentic discipleship. I think the married couples in this room with kids could attest that they didn't have kids because they were bored or because they were lonely. They had kids because they loved each other. Kids came out of the relationship, out of the joy, out of the oneness of a marriage. The kids were the fruit. And I think our oneness can bear fruit as well. In the same way, the God of the gospel, he was never lonely. Throughout all of eternity, God wasn't just bored or lonely and thought, well, I'll create you, I guess. No, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, in their relationship of joy, created us to join in that joy with them. They want us to experience that same joy, others to come into that spiritual family. Man, I said conclusion like 5 minutes ago, didn't I? So I'll skip this illustration, but I do have another illustration. Yeah, I'll say this. Man, focusing on that knowing God and loving God, I'm a planner kind of guy. Maybe others can relate here. I think when Madison and I planned our wedding, it's like, okay, what's the budget and who's going to come when? And, you know, really should have let, like, whose responsibility should that be? The wedding planner, whoever, take care of that. But you can miss the relationship and miss the day when you focus in on the plans, right? Yeah. We can do that on the Christian life. Yeah. Starting the church, this spiritual family here in Bend, Oregon. I sometimes want to know what I'm doing or come off like I know what I'm doing, right? And that requires a lot of planning. And then I get in planning mode. But, man, to know God and to love God is to say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know who I'm doing it for. And man, I hope that nobody here becomes a professional church planter, but that we all remain an amateur for Christ's love. And that when we tell others about, man, I don't know what everything means in John 17, but I do know that you can be known and loved by God, that you can have a full measure of joy, that you can have these one another relationships. Let's remain an amateur for that love. Don't get too busy crossing off to-do items. Don't get too busy to the point where you can't say, I know and love my church. I'm known and I'm loved within my church. There's a oneness, there's a peace, there's a relationship, and a joy. So just close your eyes. And imagine, if you will, remember the first time you met Jesus, knew Jesus, and heard of him, before the plans, before the events, before the boxes to check, before the discipleship, before the groups, before the projects and the programs, before the church, before the serving and the doing and the ministry, before any spiritual scorecard, what was it like to know him, for him to come to know you, and for that to change everything about your life? Don't forget your first love. Get back to Jesus and catch up to Jesus. I end with this note, that the world may believe that you have sent me. It's a bitterly divided world out there. I saw it up in Detroit as a divided community right there and divisiveness, and it's right here in Bend as well, and it can creep right in here into this room. It's a divided culture, but they can see a oneness. They can know who we're sent by. Amen, church? Amen. Let's go to our Father with a word of prayer. Reflect on all of that. Remember that. So we want to know this God of the gospel. Father God, we pray as often as we meet that we might perfectly know you and love you and know your love and be loved by you. Your joy and your peace, to know the encouragement of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for everyone even sharing practically how they've seen you throughout the week, that it's not just here in this hour on Sunday morning, but God, you go forth. You continue to encourage us day after day. God, the primary way you're going to work is through one another in this room for the Holy Spirit to encourage us. And we thank you for that, that through one another we can experience that love. God, I pray that we can grasp the good news, be shaped by the good news, and become the good news. That we can love others with the love of the Lord. That we can see in others the glory of you, the King. God, as we take this bread representing your body, juice representing your blood, help us to remember you. Remember times when we have experienced a full measure of your joy and know that that's available to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.